Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. Things will get stranger, stranger. Please don't turn off the show, keep listening. We will sing for you, please, please stay. Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. We'll sing today, don't go away, what do you say? So we'll sing a song, or maybe two or three, and every month we'll tackle a brand new movie. We'll bring a guest and talk and sing it basically. Wonder why do we sing? Stop singing. Oh, we started this as a joke, but it became more here on this show. We bring you in, give you laughs and some fun and a song here and there. It's time for the show. Are you prepared? Here we go. So we sing.
We sing it poorly.
We sing Chicago quite poorly. If you'd please listen to today's podcast, Chicago will be sung quite poorly.
Hello and welcome to the We Sing Poorly podcast, the monthly show where we review musicals in song. I'm Pat McDonald of 100 Years of Movies.
And I'm Nick Jobe of Your Face.
And despite our best efforts last month, this month, we're guestless. And we're talking about Chicago because it's Oscar time and, you know, why not? So I guess I'll kick off on Chicago. I saw this in the theater when it came out. It was up for Oscar. So I was at a point in my life where my wife and I didn't have children and were able to do such things. So got to see it in the theater. And I remember liking it at the time a great deal. I'd seen it a couple times since, and I think, you know, the fairest way for me to review this at this point is simply to say Richard Gere's in it.
He is, yes.
Are you having lights? There's lights.
Are you having some trouble here?
I feel like I am.
Well, we have a group of guys here.
They look a little like ragtimey.
Yeah, that's is that yeah.
Okay. It's not our usual crew.
No, but, we had a little rough schedule last time, so they got a month off. So I brought in some new guys.
Okay. Well, let's give this a shot.
Okay.
Here's what I like about Chicago. Chicago the musical. It never forgets just what it is. It puts the show in showbiz. That's what I like about Chicago. Chicago the musical. It takes advantage of the cinema. The movie Rob Marshall has created, even with Oscar, seems underrated. That's Chicago, a film about image. That's how we talk about Chicago. Chicago, the film events, gives you a plot that's so preposterous that the result
could have been monstrous, but that's not at all Chicago. It's a film with intelligence. 40 years old, its story's still prescient. Totally predicted celebrity culture, not to mention committees of media vultures. That Chicago, near perfect amusement. How about the cast of Chicago? Chicago's a showcase. Features Latifah at her queeniest and Richard Gere at his geariest. Give them a box of Oscar noms for Chicago the musical. Riley is great, that's clear as cellophane. Of course, none of them was an Oscar getter unless your name started with Catherine Zeta. Of course, Zellweger still causes me pain. Here it comes. Let's talk about the art direction of Chicago the musical. It shows a stocking full of imagination. I love the contrast between the real world and Roxy's dreams, which are so absurd. It razzle-dazzled me. It razzle-dazzled me. It deserves a standing ovation.
Okay, so, yeah, I obviously I like this movie quite a lot. I'm someone who really appreciates, in particular, visuals. And I think Chicago is one of those films that is just uniquely suited to the big screen. In a way, you know, we've talked about Les Mis, for example. Movies like that, I don't think are. This movie has sort of an explanation for why people are singing. You know, there's, it has a very dreamlike quality, and it I think even better than the stage, it manages to navigate between the very gritty looking real world Chicago and the various kind of dream states of these characters in a way that you can only really get across on a movie screen through editing, through art design, etc. So I don't know if you have any reaction to any of that at this point.
Yeah, actually, I too saw this in theater, and I had a soundtrack that I played every now and then in my car, and because I was that kind of guy.
As was I. Yeah. Did not have to purchase a soundtrack before. Yeah. Already owned.
So, yeah, and I'm right there with you on the visuals of it and the, you know, the dream sequences, and it's just not only gorgeous to look at, like, aesthetically, but the choreography of the dances and all the songs is done so well. My favorite being Cell Block Tango.
Ah, yes. Which, fantastic.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's just an amazing visual feast for the eyes. But it's not perfect. And how do I say this?
Hey, you know, maybe it would help if there was a little, you know, wah, 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 you know? Get it, bring out the bring out the trombones and trumpets here?
Yeah, and all that jazz?
All that jazz.
Okay. If someone stabbed your sister's face and then claimed it's been effaced and sang a song and danced around, they disgust you. If someone killed the man that they were cheating with on you per se, then asked to be world renowned, they disgust you. But in a world where fame's a fickle friend, celebrities based on the latest trend, where murderers and justice entertain, intelligent, you have to use your brain. Satire, it's great satire, with skimpy attire. It's great satire, all based on celebrity in the 1920s, and still holds true today. Though there's the characters, loathsome characters, all brought together for great satire, well, all except for Amos. Not famous, the only one not loved. Suppose you made a musical and made it look all beautiful, but also beat out better films? You'd question it. Suppose you made a Nazi flick that checked off all the Oscar shtick, but only won for making it. You'd question it. A film director's a visionary that brings together some great imagery. Can set a scene and control actors too. A quite impressive final product. Made for you. Pulled out his arsenal, director Rob Marshall. He should have won the Oscar, directing Oscar, for his film Vision. But it was Polanski, Roman Polanski, 'cause he had Nazis. Roman Polanski, the pianist, should have won for Best Picture. But Chicago took it. Sadly, Chicago. But I still think it's really good. Yeah, so, like I said, it's great visually, and the movie is a really good satire on celebrity, fame, justice system, like all that. It's a really smart movie in that way that a lot of people don't seem to give it credit for just because it won, you know, Best Picture and all these other awards over some other more deservedly deserving films.
I would even take a step further. It is so good at that. It's actually, in a weird way, better today than it was even then. Because Catherine Zeta-Jones wasn't quite kind of image-wise what she is today. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, I said, and as I was singing, you know, this is kind of Richard Gere at his geariest. Mm-hmm. And I think that's absolutely true. It's him playing the same character he has always played. And he's one of those actors who has made an entire career out of essentially playing the same guy. And there's just this shorthand now with all of these people on the screen that you know exactly who they are. Even someone in a minor role, like a Taye Diggs, you know, he's just that cool cat who, of course, is going to be introducing every one of these mm-hmm. numbers. And John C. Reilly, whose song you did, is can you think of someone more schlubby, you know?
Right.
more Mr. Cellophane than John C. Reilly. It just... The casting has only gotten better over time, with, for me, the exception of Zellweger. She's just not great throughout this. So, I mean, what's your sense of the acting?
Acting, yeah, it's great. Again, John C. Reilly is like the highlight of the performances for me. And when I first saw Mr. Cellophane, when it got to that point, I was like, wow, this is a great moment. And he pulls it off very well. And Richard Gere was, you know, of course, fantastic too. But, yeah, all the performances were pretty solid. Queen Latifah is great. at her queeniest.
Yes. Mama knows best.
Yeah. But, and it's interesting that, and I mentioned in my song, all of these characters, every single one of them, except for Amos and the random girl who gets hanged, are like just reprehensible characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like loathsome. And they're supposed to be, like, the shining stars, the people everyone loves. But then you get to the other characters, like Amos or the one girl that dies. And these are the characters that are ignored, that nobody pays attention to. Can't even bother to remember Amos's name. Richard Gere calls him, like, Andy half the movie. which I think really adds to that, that satire of celebrity.
Yeah, I mean, we're just so infatuated with, you know, again, I don't remember in 2002 what Kim Kardashian's status might have been. but I mean, it very much is that. It's someone, you know, a group of people becoming famous for being famous. Mm-hmm. And you can't go back and figure out the starting point of when that actually happened. And it's amazing to me, based on a story that's, you know, next year will be 40 years old. Mm-hmm. If you told me this was written yesterday, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. I mean, and I agree with what you said earlier too. This works even better today than it did, you know, in the early 2000s, because I mean, this is like the age of, like, the YouTube celebrity, and
media is just constantly looking for content.
Yeah, so. It's the 15-minute stars, you know, hide your kids, hide your wife, kind of celebrity. The village idiot kind of celebrity that is going on so commonly today.
Yeah, I will say, you know, going back to the performances a bit, that if I have one thing, and it's not a fault of any of the actors, I think it's, in retrospect, as I think about it, it's not something I think about the acting very much in. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more production design and editing and, you know, the story being told and the way they tell it. And I'd say 90% of the acting success came through at the moment they cast the person. As opposed to much they're bringing to the screen. Like, you know, Richard Gere, again, being on screen is just shorthand immediately for that kind of lawyer. Mm-hmm. Like, you just immediately know, in a way, if you got just about anybody else, if you got, you know, if Tom Cruise showed up, he'd have to work to convince you he was the bad, you know, not the nicest guy. Mm-hmm. Richard Gere shows up and you're like, oh, I see what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Okay. Guy whose most famous romance involves him hiring a prostitute. Okay, gotcha. So, yeah, I like this movie. I feel like there's been some backlash against it. I know you mentioned The Pianist in the year it came out. You know, I feel like it's one of those that's become a little forgotten, a little considered a lesser Oscar movie. But
yeah, and I'd actually in that regard, I don't know if this is a controversial switch or what, because there's a lot of hate for Chicago. But you know, as I said in my song, I would probably switch it around. Whereas Polanski got Best Director and Chicago won Best Picture, I would have given Best Picture to The Pianist and Director to Rob Marshall.
Mm. That's interesting. Do you think Chicago gets devalued just because it's a musical?
I think that has something to do with it. I don't know if that's the entire thing. I do think it has the same. It has like the Crash symptoms or syndrome or whatever there, where it just so happened to beat out films that people liked more. Or thought were more deserving, but it in itself is not a bad movie. It just had the misfortune of winning at the wrong time.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I tend to have a bit of, I'll say, cynicism for how the entire Oscar process really works. Mm-hmm. So I don't like. To me, I look at it more as a. Was it truly the best film or not that year? I don't know, but it certainly, you look at the cast and it's a navel gazing film about Hollywood.
Yeah.
Of course it's going to win, you know, it's just one of those, perfectly kind of made for Oscar season mm-hmm. movies in terms of easy sells.
Well, but then look at, Nine, which was, I believe same director, and had a huge Oscar-filled cast with Daniel Day-Lewis at the lead, and Oscar-winning like production designers and Oscar-winning writers and Oscar-winning this and that, and that movie was like a flop.
Yeah, I think there are gates you have to get through, mm-hmm. Kind of to get to the next step on the Oscar thing, and my other podcasting partner likes reminding me that I was one of those who before it ever came out was saying, you know, Mr. Banks would probably be one of the Oscar contenders this year, which of course obviously didn't happen. And I think it's again, because you need to get that through that initial gate of not just critics liking you, but you have to register in some way, to be a, I'll say, true contender. And you get this feeling there's reserve spots. There's like the contender spots and then the, we want to feel good about ourselves by nominating these other things. You know, thank you for playing Philomena. but yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, the Oscars are really about, have become more about one big overarching thing. And that's the, what's it called? Losing my thought here. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Are you?
Maybe. Do we need a little help?
Oh, yeah. That's a very good idea. Why don't we really see what we can do with all that jazz now?
All right.
Guys, why don't we start a campaign and get Oscar?
I'm gonna rouge my cheeks and go on Jimmy Fallon and get Oscar.
Start the ads, I've got a sappy plot about a paraplegic who stepped on to get shot.
For enough money, we'll take Bunny Knee and get
Who cares? We've not filmed a single reel. We'll get Oscar.
I'll just pick up the phone and give Tom Hanks a deal. We'll get Oscar.
It won't matter if our film's unseen. We were bought at Cannes by Harvey Weinstein.
Even critics cry and won't say Private Ryan. He won't get Oscar. Variety for your consideration. We'll buy Oscar.
Who cares if the marketing's a little brazen? We'll buy Oscar.
Back up the truck with your money sacks. I bet your off-field crash is gonna break your back.
If you want red carpet, better learn to market to get a skirt. So now we decide it's Pacino's turn. He'll get Oscar.
Who cares if it's for Santa of a Woman? He'll get Oscar.
If your film's a certain type, oh, the marketing can't hide. Especially dramas about Tinseltown. We'll get Oscar.
Yes, it may be mandatory, but I'd like to thank the Academy.
My Oscar.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's become a lot about marketing, and that's the state of the Oscars. Everybody will have their own favorites. The Oscars are their own thing, and everybody's just got to learn to live with it.
Yeah.
So, any final thoughts from you on Chicago this week, there, Nick?
Not really. I do think it is kind of an unfairly maligned a film. It's still really good. And a lot smarter than people remember or give it credit for. Fantastic visuals, good satire, good casting, good directing, and really fun and catchy songs. On top of all of that, so it's a really good film. Not perfect, but still really, really good.
Absolutely. And if I would totally second all that, and if what you're remembering is what you saw 10 years ago or so, definitely give this one another shot. It's definitely worth another look. Very, very good film. That'll about do it for this month's show. If you'd like to leave a comment on this episode or be a guest in a future episode, and yes, you will have to sing at least a little, please leave a comment in the show post. And please stay tuned to the end of our outro to find out what we're doing next. So until next time, I'm Pat McDonald of 100 Years of Movies.
And I'm Nick Tobe of Your Face.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodnight.
Maybe next time our singing will not bite.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, adieu.
Be back next month, another film to do.
So long, farewell,
au revoir, auf Wiedersehen.
We'd like to promise you we're not insane.
So long, farewell,
auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
So here is next month's film we're gonna try.
We sing poorly, we sing poorly. Reefer madness, reefer madness. Our next show.